this world below, full of sin and of woe. We will all face some troubles and some trials, but don't base your walk with Jesus on the troubles you go through, for you may still be walking in God's perfect will for you. So don't base what you believe on the trials you receive. Just because the way gets long, it doesn't mean you're in the wrong. So don't worry about today. Just get on your knees and pray. And I promise you the Lord will show you the way. As we walk by our faith, that's the way to run this race. Don't give heed to doubt and fear. Only give to God your ear. Press on to right, the finish right. line. And in God's perfect time, He will give to you and me sweet victory. So don't base what you believe on the trials you receive. Just because the way gets long, it doesn't mean you're in the wrong. So don't worry about today. Just get on your knees and pray. And I promise you the Lord will show you the way. So don't base what you believe on the trials you receive. Just because the way gets long, it doesn't mean you're in the wrong. So don't worry about today. Just get on your knees and pray. And I promise you the Lord will show you the way. And I promise you the Lord will show you the way.
Amen. Amen. This song was written by Brother Leonard Fletcher, and I appreciate Brother Fletcher. He's been a good brother over the years.
Walking down a memory lane from past so long ago, the enemy making me feel low. He brought up thoughts of hurt and pain when I had gone astray. He wanted to discourage me as I walked along my way.
He said, "You're undeserving, 'cause I know where you've been. I have a record of your life. You were bound by sin. And I know darkest secrets that you would never tell. What makes you think you don't deserve a place with me in hell?"
I heard the old accuser, and this was my reply. "You're right for all the wrongs I've done. Sure deserve to die. My righteousness, it's filthy rags. My goodness, unclean. There's only one thing I can say, what you've said to me.
It's under the blood. Oh, praise is your name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed. Not shackled by sin. Shame, it's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood. Victory was given me when I was born again.
And he washed my stain and sinful past and gave me life within. No longer do I bear the mark that sin had brought my way. With happiness and peace of mind, I'm glad I now can say, blood, oh, praise your name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed. Not shackled by sin and shame, it's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood.
It's under the blood.
Oh, praise to your name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed. Not shackled by sin and shame, it's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood.
I'm glad it's under the blood. Woo! This song is entitled Sheltered, and I appreciate how it's helped my heart and my soul. Hope it'll help you. Sheltered by His grace.
I missed out on heartaches this world feels every day. And I missed out on a broken home that would steal my joy. And I missed out on all the things I said I'd miss out on. But somehow I have a heart of peace while their good times are gone.
'Cause I've been sheltered by His grace, kept in a safe place, protected by the prayers of those who've always sought His face. In a world of shifting sand, I can hold on to their hands as they guide me on how to run this race. As the years go on, I'm sheltered by His grace.
Grace can take the sin away, stained the soul for years. And grace can keep a life that's pure from shedding bitter tears. And the grace has brought me safe thus far, will safely lead me on. For the truth that they've instilled in me will last when they are gone.
'Cause I've been sheltered by His grace, kept in a safe place, protected by the prayers of those who always sought His face. In a world of shifting sand, I can hold on to their hands as they guided me on how to run this race. As the years go on, I'm sheltered by His grace. As the years go on, I'm sheltered by His grace.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen. For the grace of God.
Amen. Sheltered by His grace. Amen. And I don't know if a lot of folks remember or not, but Brother John had a stroke a little while back. And I wasn't sure he was going to be able to get to our camp meeting, and he made it. And I listened to him talk today. He's telling Isaac, I think, or Jesse, one of them, he said, I was able to play the guitar for 10 minutes today. And what a pleasure, what a blessing that God has done. Sheltered by grace, it's by grace. And so I thank the Lord for this family, for those songs. I like that. It's under the blood, don't you? Amen. I like that one. That gets us fired up. Amen. I like it. Amen, brother.
I like that, under the blood. Ain't nothing get to it. That's right. I'm glad that I hid myself under that blood, ain't you? Amen. Praise God, I really am. Come time for preaching, Brother Tom. Brother Tom is in a wonderful series about grace, and it's been a blessing. Matter of fact, Jan and my sister been talking last night. They was talking on the way home, on our way home, and they're trying to keep notes. But these points he's bringing out, of course, he knows them. And he just blows right by them. They're asking each other, what was that last one? What was that last one? I think her and Glenn back there is trying to figure it out. Glenn said, I don't know, but something about grace or something like that. Brother, preach to us.
If you have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text again in the book of Ruth. Book of Ruth. Thank the Lord for what we've already heard tonight and the singing. Reminder and pointing us towards Him. We thank the Lord for His kindness in allowing us to be here tonight. And shame on those that stayed home because of the weather tonight. God cut it off just in time for us to come into church. Isn't that just like God? I love it when He gets in it, don't you? You can't beat it. Well, we have been, since Sunday morning, sort of tracking through the book of Ruth under the title of The Grace That Found Me. I didn't find grace. Grace found me. And if grace doesn't find you, you'll never find it. And once Ruth has arrived down in Bethlehem, Judea, and she meets Boaz, a little verse in chapter 2 that has sort of been the hub that held the book together for me, in verse number 10. Then she fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground. Told you last night, the old Hebrew word used in the Old Testament for trust is to put the face in the dirt. The face in the dirt. So that's where she's at. She's put her face in the dirt. And she asks a question that should be on the lips of anybody that God's ever saved. Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? The grace was in Boaz's eyes, and that grace found her. I'm glad tonight that I have a grace that I didn't find, but that grace found me. We've looked at it from several angles. On Sunday morning, we looked at the reasons for finding grace. Then the revelation from finding grace. And then last evening, we looked at the reach from finding grace. When we left last night out of chapter 2, he had hand-fed this gal. And she made the statement in verse 14 that she was sufficed. It's our little word for stuffed. Thanksgiving style. Amen. Right up to here. Amen. And on top of that, he gave her a lunch box, a goodie bag to take to the house. Enough for 5 days, the number of grace for the two of them. Amen. Sort of telling her that this thing's not over. And in chapter number 3 tonight, I'd like to hang out there and look tonight at the rest in finding grace. Ruth finds herself in a precarious situation. She's wanting to marry Boaz, but he has not made any intentions along those lines. And we're coming to the end of the gleaning days. That's where we're at tonight. Prophetically, we're at the end of the gleaning days. God's just getting a few here and a few there. I hear tell of these people that are having 45 and 50 saved every night. I don't know if I believe a word of it. God's in a gleaning period. He's just getting a few here and a few there. That's where Ruth finds herself. Verse 1, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? It is during these last gleaning days that God is wanting you and I to rest. Enter into a state of tranquility, quiet repose, no matter what the circumstances are. Even when all around my soul gives way, rest, rest. But the scary thing is tonight for Ruth, the Bible says in verse 8, that it was midnight. Midnight in the Bible is always a picture of desperation. It's done got as dark as it can get. God, what you want me to do? Take it easy. Rest. I got this. I got this. How did Ruth find rest in finding grace? I notice if you've got the Bible there tonight, the same way Ruth found rest in this dark hour, the gleaning's coming to an end. She's still a widow. She don't have a husband. Don't have nobody to marry. It's midnight. It's dark. Naomi's saying, hey, take it easy. I believe this kinsman redeemer's going to come through for us. I think he's going to work it out. How did she find rest? I noticed first of all tonight that Ruth found rest in finding grace. This is awful deep. I don't even know if you can get this number. Maybe way over your head. By obeying. Her mother-in-law has told her some things to do. And in verse number 5, and she said unto her, all, I did not know if you see that word or not. I saw it underlined for you. Amen. All that thou sayest unto me, I will do. All tonight, in your darkest hour, when all around your soul's given way, it's midnight. The only way this kinsman redeemer will come through for you is by you and I obeying. What is she going to do in this obedience? She's asked her, first of all, in verse number 3, wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee. She's asking her to cleanse herself. I was interested in that little word wash. It means to wash away thoroughly, to be overcome by a different substance. Oh, isn't that what they were just singing about a few minutes ago? that blood. Have y'all heard over here there's a fountain filled with blood? Drawn from Emmanuel's veins, sinners plunge beneath that flood lose how much? All their guilty stains. Oh, tonight in your darkest hour, don't look for your way out. Don't look for the exit door. Look for the blood. Look for the blood. It was Paul that said to the church that we should wash ourselves with the water of the word. If you're in a dark hour tonight, you don't want to miss church. Get in the word. You want to find rest for your soul. Not only did she asked her to cleanse herself. I'll do it. I tell you, it'll take a grace tonight that's marvelous, wonderful, infinite, amazing grace to be obedient to cleansing in your darkest hour. Darkest hour. I notice in verse number 3, not only did she ask her to cleanse herself, but she asked her to clothe herself. He said, wash thyself therefore, anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee. Clothe thyself. Oh, tonight in our darkest hour, we don't want to try to get through this in our own self-effort tonight. We want to come in His righteousness, in His holiness. We want to beg Him in His position tonight to help us. Oh, this is not about me helping myself. I tell you, I'm going to get through this the best I can. That ain't going to work out for you. You better get in that position that He placed you in, your righteousness. Not only did she ask her to cleanse herself, clothe herself, but I notice in verse number 3, she asked her to contrite herself. She said there in verse number 3, get thee down to... where? The floor. Put your face in the dirt. Oh, tonight, if you want God to help you, God resisteth the proud. Well, I tell you, I'm just going to stay home, try to work this thing out myself. I just don't feel like going over there to church. I better resist that tonight. That's the mark of the proud tonight. The humble will get over here and try to bow down before God in obedience tonight. I can find rest like Ruth did by obeying. But I notice also that Ruth found rest not only in this finding grace by resting, but I notice if you got the Bible there tonight in verse number 7, she found rest in finding grace by laying. I tell you, Ruth is, she's got her a bad case of this redeemeritis. She's done got flat overboard with this Jesus stuff. The Bible says in verse number 7, and when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. She came softly and uncovered his feet and... Well, she ain't sit down. No. This crazy girl gonna lay down. Where at? At his head? God forbid. I don't know about you. I ain't into feet. Ain't never seen no pretty feet. Ain't got no foot fetishes. But this old gal's eat up with this Redeemer stuff. And she lays down at his feet. Oh, many will bow tonight at our kinsman Redeemer's feet. But few will lay down. This little word lay down means to cast oneself down low because one is ravished with another. This grace, this marvelous, infinite, wonderful, amazing grace has ravished her soul, and she flings herself down at his feet. What in the world is she doing for? She's trying to find rest in this dark hour. I heard a little story this week from a pastor back home. I was listening to his message. He was talking about this thing of trust, putting your face in the dirt. Adrian Rogers, a great preacher from your state here, Tennessee, pastored for a number of years in Memphis, Belleville, started at Mid-America College. When Adrian Rogers was 18 years old, he had been saved and he felt like God wanted him to do something for him. And he went to the football field where he had played football in high school and had scored so many touchdowns. And he stood in the middle of that field and opened his arms wide and he said, "Lord, I give myself to you to do whatever you want me to do."
Amen.
Adrian said, "Nothing." He said, "I didn't feel nothing." He said, "So I got down on my knees again. I said, 'Lord, I want to give myself to you to do whatever you want with me to do.'" Adrian Rogers said, "Nothing." He didn't feel nothing. He said, "Finally, middle of that field," he said, "I dug me a hole in the grass and I stuck my nose in my face down in that dirt. And I said, 'God, I give myself to you.'" He said God filled him with the Holy Ghost. He said he took all of his life to get over it.
Amen.
Oh, tonight, that's exactly what she's doing tonight. In her darkest hour, she's not standing before him. She's not kneeling before him. She's flung herself down before him because she is ravished with him. Oh, tonight, if you're going through a dark hour tonight, you want to get some rest for your soul, fling yourself down in front of him. Not only did she find rest by obeying, by laying, but I noticed that Ruth found rest in finding grace by sifting, by sifting. It is this night in chapter number 3, verse number 2, Bible says, "And now it is not Boaz of our kindred with whose maidens thou wast. Behold, he winnoweth the barley tonight in the threshing floor." That little word, winnoweth, it's our New Testament word for sifting. You remember he told Peter, he said, "Peter," he said, "Satan has desired to sift you." You would think he's going to tell Peter, he says, I'm going to keep him from doing it. He never said that. He said, "I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you." What is sifting and winnowing? It is taking that barley on a sheet and throwing it up in the night winds and letting the night winds, wind in the Bible is a type of the Holy Ghost, letting it blow through that wheat, and that which falls back into the sheet is the real deal, and it blows the chaff, the temporal, that which is unimportant, it blows it out of the wheat. That's exactly what God's doing in this hour. He's throwing you and I up in the winds of adversity tonight and blowing out of our lives what is unimportant so that we can see what is eternal. And oh, when we see what is eternal, it is then that we can rest. I tell you, if you're going through a dark hour in this hour, you do not have to suck your thumb and wonder what God's doing. God is doing one or two things. He's either correcting you or conforming you to the likeness of His Son. You say, preacher, how can I figure out which one He's doing, correcting me or conforming me? I don't even know if you can get this or not, but it's always helped me. Ask Him. He'd be glad to tell you. It's either I'm correcting you for some things in your life that I don't like, or I am conforming you to the likeness of my Son. And that's exactly what He is doing in the life of Ruth. He is conforming her to the likeness of Boaz. You want to find rest? Finding grace, you'll find it by obeying, by laying, by sifting. But I notice in the text in verse number 13, Ruth found rest in finding grace by staying. By staying. The Bible says in chapter 3 and verse 13, tarry this night. Ruth spent the night at Boaz's feet. I tell you, you pray for me, I'm really going through a dark time. Oh, my, so dark. How many nights have you spent with Him at His feet? I can grant you this tonight. A night spent at Jesus' feet is never a wasted night. God wakes you up in the middle of the night. Quit counting sheep.
Amen.
He hasn't woke you up to count sheep. He has woke you up so you can talk to Him. Oh, there's nothing wrong with pulling an all-nighter. That's what Ruth has done. How come? She wants to find rest in this midnight hour. She's in a quandary. She's still a widow. She needs a kinsman redeemer. You say, what in the world would be gained by spending the night with Jesus? Well, let's see what was gained by her spending the night with Boaz. It says in verse number 9, and he said, who art thou? She answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. One thing she experienced, he spread the skirt of his robe over her. I had to go two or three times because I wanted to make sure I had not missed it. I was looking at this little Hebrew word skirt here. Most everywhere it is translated in our English Bible, it is translated wings. He has spread his wings over her. Isn't it David that said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thy shall trust.
Amen.
Oh, to spend the night with Jesus, you never can tell. He might take you into the secret place and put his wings over you. Well, what else could be gained by spending the night with Jesus, staying with him all night? Well, she experienced his skirts. Well, what else did she experience? She experienced him speaking to her. Verse number 10, and he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. As much as thou hast followed not the young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. He talks to her. What does he talk to her about? He talks to her about a blessed position. Did you notice what he called her? This is a Gentile pagan that came out of a pedophile relationship with Lot and his daughter, and he calls her daughter. That is a term of intimacy that a father has with an only child. It is a term of adoption.
Amen.
He's adopting this girl. How many of you tonight, by the shaking of your head, this is yes, this is no, this is I don't know. How many of you tonight believe that you have been adopted by Jesus? This would be a good answer. If you believe that you have been adopted, you believe you've been chosen, you've been picked. That's how adoption works. People go down to where they got the kids and they say, I'll take that one. Oh, I don't know why in the world Jesus would pick me. I never got picked unless and I heard him say, we'll take Gillum if you'll give us first bat. I'm the only one standing there. Everybody else has done been picked. But he knew I couldn't bat and still picked me.
Amen.
Oh, in your darkest hour, he'll go to speaking to you. And then I noticed that Ruth not only found rest, finding grace by obeying, by laying, by sifting, by staying. But I noticed that she found rest in finding grace by waiting, by waiting. You know, I don't mind waiting on God if he'll hurry up. He'll hurry up. But you know, in all the 54 years that I've ever been dealing with him, I've never known him to be early. Never. If you've got something and you need him to do it and it's about 2 weeks out, I wouldn't waste my breath praying about it. He ain't going to do nothing. He never gets in a hurry.
Right.
But in all the years that I've known him, not only have I never known him to be early, I've never known him to be late. But I tell you, I could write enough books to Philip Smithsonian Institute of the times he's taking me right to the edge. It's so dark. Hey, we're going down now. And here he comes. Here he comes. Tarry this night. Wait. Sit still. She has told her in verse number 1. Seek rest. Be still. Tarry the night. Wait. What is to be gained by waiting upon God? Notice in chapter 3 and verse 15, the next morning he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee. Hold it. When she held it, he measured. What? 6 measures of barley. Laid it on her and she went into the city. In all of her work in the field, gleaning, all she ever got was 1 ephod, 1 measure. One night of laying at his feet, she got 5 times more than what she ever got in the field working. All of her busy, I'm working for my Jesus. All she got was 1 measure. Lay at his feet all night, she got 5 times more. The only thing I can conclude that you can get more laying at his feet than you ever can about busying yourself for Jesus.
Amen.
I love to hear. We all stop right there and shout.
Yes.
Tarry at his feet. As I was thinking about that again today, most theologians believe from the time that Boaz first met her in the field and the consummation this night when he tells her that he will seek to redeem her, he told her there was a nearer kinsman that he had to check with. But the time between him meeting her and this night, they say, is around 4 months. And I'd often wondered why he had taken so long. Because you know, sometimes we wonder why Jesus is taking so long. Jewish history, a proselyte, a Gentile, that wants to come into the family of God. They have to be a member of the Jewish community for 4 months before they can take a Jewish husband. He knew that. She didn't. See, there's a lot of things you and I don't know. But he does. Why don't he hurry up? He's not in the business of hurrying up. He's in the business of causing us to rest. I thought it was interesting how Naomi ends this chapter in verse 18. Then said she, "Sit still, my daughter, till thou knowest how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished this thing this day." Hey, you and I can rest tonight because he ain't never gonna rest until he gets us home. I love that. We ought to sit. We ought to just take us a figure eight around this building. Tonight. I tell you, why don't he hurry up? He knows what he's doing tonight. This grace is marvelous. It's infinite. It's wonderful. That's why they call it amazing. Amen. Had a dear missionary friend. Him and I went to school together. Him and I run the Little Pig's Barbecue in Greenville, South Carolina. His daddy owned it. He went to the South Pacific, the Fiji Islands, and started 3 or 4 churches there, still going today. Little old skinny guy, and spent years over there, come home on furlough, and told his wife he's going to go take a walk. He came back and she told him, she said, "Lunch will be ready in just a few minutes." He said, "I'm going to lay down here on the floor. Holler at me when you put it on the table." She went back in there. I mean, he had gone deep sea diving and everything. Little old teeny guy. She went back in there and he's dead as a hammer. Gone. I never got a letter from Dennis Jester. Never, ever. Did I get a letter from him that he didn't sign his name in his easy yoke, Dennis Jester. In his easy yoke, Dennis Jester. He lived that, resting in the Lord, obeying, staying, waiting, sifting, resting in the Lord. Love what the old songwriter said, "Jesus, I am resting. Resting in the joy of who thou art. I'm finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Thou hast bid me gaze upon thee, and thy beauty fills my soul. For by thy transforming power, thou hast made me whole. Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of who thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Oh, how great thy loving kindness, vaster, broader than the sea. Oh, how marvelous thy goodness, lavish all on me. Yes, I rest in thee, beloved. Know what wealth of grace is thine. Know that certainty of promise have made it mine. Simply trusting thee, Lord Jesus, I behold thee as thou art, and thy love so pure, so changeless, satisfies my heart, satisfies its deepest longings, meets, supplies its every need. Compass me round with blessings. Thine is love indeed." I love this verse. "Ever lift thy face upon me. As I work and wait for thee, resting neath thy smile, Lord Jesus, earth's dark shadows flee. brightness of my Father's glory, sunshine on my Father's face. Keep me ever trusting, resting. Fill me with thy grace. Jesus, I am resting, resting the joy of who thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. We're standing tonight. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Your sister tonight's going to come around to the piano. She's going to play us something or sing us something. You say, preacher, I know you probably don't know what I'm going through. But it's midnight. It's dark. I wonder tonight if you need some rest for your soul. Find rest in obeying, laying, sifting, tarrying, waiting in his presence. Rest is all about him. I wonder if you need some rest for your soul tonight. Would you need it bad enough tonight to fling yourself on this altar tonight? Because you're ravished with his love. Maybe even want to put your face in the ground. Seeking for rest. While she plays, while she sings, whatever she's going to do tonight. You need rest tonight. Why don't you come? Why don't you come?
Amen, amen. I don't know about you, but I feel a great sense of love tonight. Sort of just over, just flooding over. And I thank the Lord for his presence and for the covering, not only by his blood, but by his wing. He hides us, and I thank the Lord for that. The devil comes looking for you, and he can't find you because he's hiding you. I like that. And I just feel so overwhelmed by the love.